Thank you for joining us for today's message. We are so encouraged to know that God is using the ocean to impact your life through the ministry of the Word. Knowing that your life is being transformed is exactly why we exist. As our vision says, we exist to know Jesus and make Him known. So sit back, relax, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your life through this message.
All right, before we get started on the sermon, we have a voicemail that I thought you guys might want to hear this morning. So,
hello, please leave a message after the tone.
Hey man, how are you? I was just calling because I needed help with this this thing that's really been bothering me for a while, and I know you're like the only one who can help me sort it out, so please call me back when you get this. Hey, just checking that you got my last message and just wanted to remind you to send me a reply when you get the chance. It's kind of urgent. Hey, I know it's been a few weeks since my last message, and I know you're busy, but it would be really great if you could get back to me. Hey, it's me again. I hope I'm not nagging. I just hoped, you know, just, never mind.
Has anybody ever had something like that happen? Yeah, we're all like, yes, yes. You waited in the silence for a call that was never returned. Now let me ask you, have you ever felt like that's you've experienced that in your spiritual life? Like you've prayed, and you start to feel like you're waiting in the silence for a prayer that will never be answered. It's not an easy place to be, is it, church? I'm going to ask you to turn with me to Psalm 13. We're going to go through a lot of scripture today. We're going to start with Psalm 13. This is a psalm written by the God-anointed King David. But do you know he went through the same things that we've gone through? And we're going to read a psalm written by a very desperate David this morning. So Psalm 13, we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. It says, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall." Those are some strong words and strong feelings that David's sharing. How long? Will you forget me forever? Sorrow in my heart? Can you hear the defeat in his voice? Can you hear the desperation? Can you hear the loneliness? I want to put it in terms of today. How long will my family make me feel unworthy, even though I've honestly done my best? Lord, all I want to do is your will for my life. Why won't you tell me what that is? Lord, if you don't fix my marriage, I don't know how much longer it's going to last. Or how long, oh Lord, will you allow this illness to keep me from getting restful sleep? Because I'm tired and I'm worn and I just don't know how I'm going to make it through one more day. How much longer, Lord? Lord, why won't you answer me? The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 31:8 that it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Those are repeated again in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews because they're important words for us to know about God. He will not leave us or forsake us. So what does that mean when you can't hear from him? What does it mean when you can no longer feel his presence? Does that void the things that God has said? You know, nothing can void the word of God, not even our feelings. If you can't hear from God, there may be a reason. If you have already dealt with a sin that might be putting up a barrier and you've gotten that taken care of, there are a few more things that you can do, and I want to talk about those things this morning. So we're going to look at three choices that people in Scripture made through three different stories today. We're going to start in 2 Samuel chapter 6. So if you want to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 6. Earlier in this chapter, we see that David and the Israelites were moving the ark of God. And because they didn't follow God's instructions, the ark was dropped and somebody died. David then left the ark with Obed-Edom and went on to Israel without the ark. So we're going to catch up with the story in verse 12. Verse 12 says, "And it was told King David, the Lord had blessed the household of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who bore the ark of the Lord had gone 6 steps, he sacrificed an ox and a fattened animal. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel," David and who? All the house of Israel. David and all the house of Israel. This is important that we know this. David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the horn. I'm not going to have you turn to 1 Chronicles, but there's a sister passage to this. It's the same story written again and has a little more detail in verse 25. It says, "So David and the elders of Israel and the commanders of thousands went to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from the house of Obed-Edom with rejoicing." So when it says all the house of Israel, this passage shows us that it means all the government leaders, right? It means all the army leaders. And we also know the priests for Israel would have been there as well, because they're the only ones that were authorized to carry the ark. When scripture says all the house of Israel, it meant all the house of Israel. So we go on to verse 16 in 2 Samuel. It says, "As the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul," she was also the wife of David, "came out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David brought burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts and distributed among all the people, the whole multitude of Israel, both men and women, a cake of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins to each one. Then all the people departed, each to his own house. And David returned to bless his household, but Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, 'How the king of Israel honored himself today, uncovering himself today before the eyes of his servants, female servants, as one of the vulgar fellows shamelessly uncovers himself.' And David said to Michal, 'It was before the Lord who chose me above your father and above all his house to appoint me as prince over Israel, the people of the Lord, and I will celebrate before the Lord. I will make myself yet more contemptible than this, and I will be abased in your eyes. But by the female servants of whom you have spoken, by them I shall be held in honor.' And Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death." Do you see a problem here? You probably see several problems, right? There's bitterness. There's jealousy. But I think we can find the root of that problem in verse 16. 2 Samuel 6, verse 16. "As the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart." Remind me, we saw earlier who was with the ark, worshiping God and celebrating the arrival of his ark. It was David and all the house of Israel. David and all the house of Israel. But when David came home, his wife Michal came out of the palace to meet him. All the house of Israel is praising God, escorting his ark to the city, celebrating his goodness, honoring him with their time, and Michal is sitting in her palace. And it's bad enough that she's not there worshiping with the rest of Israel. But when David returns, We realized that she had spent all her time watching from her high place, judging the worship with bitterness in her heart. Can I ask you a hard question? Has this ever been your story? I know none of you are living in a palace, watching your husband, the king, or your wife, the queen, out the window. But maybe you've been praying for God to bless you at work and get jealous of your coworker's success because you work more hours, sometimes even skipping church to show your boss how dedicated you are. And then you think the problem is that God isn't listening to you. Or how about this one? This one might rub a few people the wrong way. Do you consistently miss being in the sanctuary in time for worship? Somebody's like, I've seen people. Instead, you enter just in time to hear the sermon. And then you wonder why the sermons don't seem to speak to you. Have you been neglecting the worship of God, but still expecting the rewards of hearing from God? You know, I'm not saying that God's got this checklist that he's ticking off to make sure you've filled all these boxes and done everything perfect. But if you want to hear from God, you cannot neglect the worship of God. We're going to look at another story. So if you want to turn with me to Exodus chapter 32, this is a story not just of one person, but a whole group of people who were not hearing from God. The Israelites were people who saw physical representations of God. They were guided by a pillar of cloud by day and by a pillar of fire by night, and they were still discouraged when they couldn't hear from God. So Exodus chapter 32, starting in verse 1. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, "Up, make gods who shall go before us. And as for Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him." So Aaron said to them, "Take off the rings of gold that are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." And so all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears, and they brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." And when Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord." And they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink, and they rose up to play. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us how long Moses was on Mount Sinai with God, just that he was delayed. And during that delay, the Israelites noticed the absence of God in their presence. But instead of taking the time to remember all that God had done for him and worship him, they decided to create something else for their worship. And this is a dangerous one, isn't it? When you lose that spiritual security and that spiritual comfort that you used to get from hearing from God, it's tempting to start looking for emotional security and comfort outside of God. Maybe you start looking for that feeling in a person. Have you ever settled for a relationship that really wasn't healthy for you? Maybe you found an illicit affair. Or maybe it isn't even a real relationship, but a person that you fantasize that you have a relationship with. This person, real or imaginary, becomes your obsession. You seek your joy in this person rather than continuing to seek after God. Or maybe it's not even a person, but a substance. Alcohol is a great deceiver, isn't it? It can make you feel so good in the moment. Really, the heart of the issue is that when you turn your heart towards a person or a substance or an object, you are making that a god in your life. And the truth is, you'll never find your way back to hearing from God if you're worshiping something other than God. You'll never find your way back to hearing from God if you're worshiping something other than God. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 15, and we're going to see a story of another person who was ignored by Jesus. We're going to start Matthew 15, starting at verse number 21. Verse 21 says, "And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon.' But he," referring to Jesus, "did not answer her a word." It's not easy to read that, is that? Especially if you've been the one sitting in spiritual silence. The passage doesn't tell us why he didn't answer her, just that he did not. It may have been a test of her faith. It may have been a test of his disciples. Earlier in Matthew 10, we see that Jesus had anointed his disciples to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. You know, some of you here are like those disciples. You've been called, you've been trained, you've been anointed, and still you wait for one of the leaders or one of the pastors to take care of it. I mean, I know that's a sermon for another day, but somebody out there needs that nudge today. If we go back to chapter 15, verse 23, it says, Jesus did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." And he answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It's not right to take the kids' bread and throw it to the dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. We have a good God, don't we? Amen. So the difference between this Canaanite woman and Michael is shown in verse 25. It says, "But she came and knelt before him, saying, 'Lord, help me.'" She realized that Jesus wasn't answering her, and she didn't turn away from God. She didn't walk away. She didn't climb into her palace and watch out the window with bitterness and anger. She didn't decide to chase after someone else to help her. She didn't find comfort in the arms of a man or find a glass of wine to hide from her troubles. No, this woman did what sometimes is the hardest but the most needful thing for us to do. She humbled herself. She knelt before Jesus. She pressed in closer. She had no guarantee that Jesus would even acknowledge her presence, but she still pressed in closer. You have so many opportunities to do that in your walk with God. If you're not hearing from him, there's things that you can do, and I can't guarantee you'll hear from him, but you won't hear from him if you're not pressing in. You can spend time reading his word. You can be in sanctuary on time for worship on Sunday. You can join us on Wednesdays. We now pray in the annex from 6 to 8 on every Wednesday. Don't turn away in the silence. Church, you need to kneel before God and press in closer. Maybe God is waiting for you to get closer before he speaks to you. So who do you relate most to today, if you're real with yourself? In the silence, do you isolate yourself like Michael, looking up above everything? Do you decide that since you can't hear from him, why should you bother to make the effort to worship him? Do you walk in bitterness and in jealousy? Church, if you want to hear from God, you cannot neglect the worship of God. Or are you like those Israelites who had seen the greatness of God, but because he was silent for a moment, decided to create something else for your attention? You will never find your way back to hearing from God if you are worshiping something other than God. Or like the woman who knelt before God, continued to worship and pray, maybe God is waiting for you to get closer to him before he speaks to you. I want to go back and look at Psalm 13. I want to look at the last two verses. I didn't read those before. Before we reread that, David's talking about, will you forget me forever? But then you get to verse 5 and 6, and it says, "But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. You know, my favorite thing about David is that no matter what was happening, he always worshiped and praised God. Even though he felt alone, he felt abandoned, he knew that God was still there. He knew God was still the King of Kings, and that God was still in control, and that God was worthy of all of his praise. Do you have the faith to believe that today? Do you have the faith to continue to worship and to move closer to God, even though you can't hear from him and you can't feel him? Maybe you're here today and you've been living your whole life in the silence because you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior. This is something you can change today. What you need to know is that God loves you. He really loves you. He created you because he wanted one of you in this world. He wanted to create you for fellowship with you. But the problem is we have this barrier that's blocking that relationship. It's the barrier called sin. God is holy, which means he cannot have anything to do with sin. Romans 3:23 tells us that we were all born sinners, for all have sinned. But you've got to remember that God loves you. And because he loves you, he created a plan to save you from those sins. That plan's name is Jesus. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And to accept that gift is easy. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. So I want to give you that opportunity right now. If today's the day that you're thinking, I don't know, I want to give you that opportunity. So I'm going to ask everybody to close their eyes and bow your heads. If today is the day that you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, while all the eyes are closed, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand so that I can pray with you today. Is there anybody here today that wants to make that decision today? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else this morning? Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands this morning. Thank you. I'm going to ask the whole church to pray together this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for providing a way out from the punishment of my sins. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. Today, I trust in you. And I believe you are the God who raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Church, we've got to celebrate this morning. We've got to celebrate. Thank you. As you are sitting here today, we had a few people who were watching for hands raised along with myself, and you'll be presented with something from our church. So we want to celebrate with you today. Please stop by and see me at the Connect Point. Before I close, though, I want to give the rest of you an opportunity. Did you realize today that maybe you are more like Michael or more like the Israelites when you're walking in the silence? Have you been ignoring God, or have you created a replacement for your worship? Today, if you want to be more like the Canaanite woman, who instead of turning away, pressed in closer and knelt before Jesus, I want to pray for you too. And I'm going to ask you to take a bold step. I'm going to ask you to stand, because we need our brothers and sisters to support us in that. So if today you want to make that commitment before your brothers and sisters, I'm going to ask you to stand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right, let us pray. Jesus, you see your children. You see them reaching out for more of you. And as they walk in this season of silence, Lord, I ask that you would help their faith remain strong and that they would always know that you are there, even when they can't hear you. Lord, bring somebody in their life that they can share this journey with, that they don't have to walk it alone. May their joy and their worship remain steady and strong in the silence. Bless them today. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.